Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Sunshine? Hello?
Sorry about that.
It's not on my shoulders. You're supposed to be. Okay, now you sit down. I think that's why I got some flowers this morning. They're like, oh, flip, there's no sunshine. Let's sweeten the girl. Let's give her some flowers. Thank you for the flowers. That was great. That was lovely. I was sitting there thinking, oh, great, that was my only Valentine's gift, which is a bit sad. And then I thought, oh, no, I did get a Valentine's gift. My mom topped up my Starbucks card. And I thought, that's even sadder. Can I have a chair up here? Is that all right? Is it possible to have, maybe just bring one of those? Because I have a feeling that I probably will sit down at some point. Thank you very much. Brilliant. I'm kind of feeling the pressure. Because everyone's like, oh, I've heard about this message, and this is great, and this is going to be amazing, and all these people are here. How many have heard it? I preached it a couple times, just out of curiosity. How many, just a few, don't be shy, don't do this. Like, how many, just kind of a few, just a dot of good, because it is great, and you're going to love it, all right? So whether you're single, whether you're married, I don't want all the married people to check out on me, all right? I want you to stay focused. I want you to stay, you know, with me. Because, and I mean this in all seriousness, I genuinely feel like there's something that God's really going to speak to you as well. Toward the end, there's something that all morning long has just been right here in my spirit that I really want to speak over us. But there's kind of a thing with being single. And I kind of give him a hard time for it. But this all came because of a phone call from Chris Denham. Back in October, who pastors our Leeds congregation there. And he gave me a phone call because I was due to be speaking in about a month. And so he called me out of the blue, and I won't go through all the details except to say he was extremely nervous, right? Okay. And so he phoned me out of the blue. I'm in London on a bus. Hey, what you doing? You know, I'm in London on a bus. And he's like, yeah, great, cool, right. So, you're preaching for us, aren't you, in a couple months? I said, yeah, great. How's London? Good, Chris, great, yeah. So, you know, have you kind of thought about what you're going to preach? No, I hadn't thought about that yet. And right, well, great. So, you know when like somebody really wants to say something and you're like, just say what you want to say, you know? And finally, he's like, oh, Jen, he said, well, we're kind of doing this series on family. And as soon as he said family, I'm like, uh-huh, because you know what's coming. I said, yes, Chris. And he said, well, you know, we've got people to preach on marriage, but there's nobody but you to preach on singleness. Thanks, Chris. Thanks so much. So I'm like, yes, sure, I would love to preach on that. That's going to be great. But you know what? God really gave me a hard time. Because you see, I'm 43 years old. Okay, that took you way too long. Let's try that again. So I'm 43 years old. That's much better. Come on. I know, shock and awe, hey? Okay, so in all of those short 43 years, have I never preached on singleness before? Which is another kind of shock, but it just has never happened because God knew the right time for me to begin speaking into this. And again, in all seriousness right now, part of the reason I'm feeling a pressure, though actually the pressure's on God, not on me, but part of the reason I'm feeling pressure is I feel like I've got a window here, and there's an anointing. And a couple of times that I've spoken into this, I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit has come, and people's lives have been changed. There's just something that he's doing through this message. And so it's kind of like me as the messenger, get out of the way. You, as the one who's listening, open up your heart, because I genuinely believe believe that the Holy Spirit has something that he wants to bring, because it has been, in some respects, a really long 43 years. But I was chatting with somebody in London. This was a few months back after Chris asked me. And I was saying to this guy, he's a friend of mine, I was like, oh, yeah, I get to do the singles preach, you know, woohoo. You know, so glad I'm, you know. When Beth Blois introduced me, can I say this? When she introduced me, and I was preaching to the youth a couple of weeks ago, the young adults, sorry, they keep telling me, don't call us youth. The young adults, all right? I was preaching to the young adults, all right, a few weeks ago, and when Beth got up to introduce me, she's like, so I want to introduce Pastor Gentia, because this is a woman that not only has a degree, she not only has a university degree in this subject, but she has a master's degree in the subject of singleness, and we're hoping she graduates. I know! I'm like, what a thing to say right before you have to get up and, you know, pour your heart out there in front of them. So anyway, I was talking to this friend of mine in London, and I'm like, yeah, I get to do the singles preach, you know, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, I left, and I was walking down the street, and I'll tell you what, God does not get mad at me very often, but he did. He wasn't angry, but there was a bit of a, and he said, Jen, stop it. You stop it. You have a word to share, and you have something to bring, and you get out there, and you open your voice, and you bring this message, because you have a window of opportunity right now to speak into this, and I've put this into your heart to speak. And you know when God says something, you're like, okay. So I'm very excited to bring it for that reason this morning, because God has a word that he wants to speak. But before we get into it, I thought it would be quite fun to look at some of the positives of being single. Anybody want to find out some positives? Okay, the more vocal you are this morning, the better this is going to be, okay? So work with me here, all right? Now, it did take me a little while to come up with some positives, but I did find some positives. So, and I actually think some of the married people are going to be able to understand these even more than the singles. Yeah, okay. And I want to warn every married person sitting here this morning, even newly married, okay, you might find moments of what I call single envy. There's going to be a little single envy going on, so guard your hearts, married people. Number one, the positives of being single, all right? You own your schedule. Complete and total freedom. If I want to listen to the radio, I turn on the radio. If I want to watch the television, I turn on the television. If I want to stay out late, I stay out late. If I want to go out to dinner, I go out to dinner. When you invite me out after this, I don't have to check with anybody. I can just go if I want to go. When I decided to move countries, I just moved countries. When I decided to move cities, I just picked up and moved cities. I didn't have to ask anybody. I didn't have to, you know, get permission from anybody. I want to buy something, I don't have to phone home and say, honey, do you mind if I spend money? I spend my money. I can buy what I want. I can do what I want. I can eat what I want. Single envy. Okay, positives. That's just number one. Number two, the girls will get this, a whole lot less laundry to do. You do your laundry when you want. You don't have to worry about, you know, all this stuff laying around on the floor next to the bed, picking it all up and dealing with it. Number three, you do not need to watch endless hours of sport unless you want to. Number four, there's nobody snoring next to you and stealing your duvet in the middle of the night. Yeah, see, you can tell. Who's got one who just snores and you're like, God, all the men. No, your wife's not here. You're not allowed to say anything. Number five. Now, this is a big one with me. Those who were there Friday night understand this. This may very well be in my wedding vows. The toilet seat is in a fixed down position, which is where it should be. Amen, ladies? You don't have to touch it. You don't have to. You want it down. You want it the way it was manufactured. You want it the way it is supposed to be when you walk into the room. You want it to say, welcome. All right? You don't want it to say, been used already. Okay? You want it down. So it's always in the right position. And number six. Number 6, no unwelcome bodily noises and smells at inappropriate times from the ladies who have blokes walking around the house. All right, now, to be fair, this is for the blokes. Number 1, no regular pressure to share your feelings. Any amens from the blokes on that one? Oh, must be different here in Liverpool. Is it the other way around? Really? Is he like this all the time? And you're just like, oh, give me space. Is it? Ah, very interesting. See, interaction. I like this. Okay. All right. Don't get single envy. You've only been married 2 months. Come on. Yeah. Give it a little bit longer. Number 2, you don't live in fear of the words. Do you remember what today is? Oh, that can cause fear. And this is what I said to the girls. I said, girls, when he's really stressed, he's busy at work, there's a lot on his mind. When he wakes up in the morning, you've got to plan it right. But when he wakes up on that specific day and you think, this is the day, as he's just kind of waking up, just rolling over, what you do is you just lean over and go, do you remember what today is? And suddenly he's going to be, yes. Yes, dear, I do. Oh, I can't wait to see what you've gotten me. I can't wait either. I can't wait either. Girls, you're going to get a gift by the end of the day. He won't even know why he has bought you the gift, but he will buy you a gift because he lives in fear of missing important dates. All right. Number 4. You don't have to fear that time of the month when you find yourself walking on eggshells, knowing at any moment there could be a spontaneous and confusing outburst of tears or anger from the woman or both, and it's directed at you whilst you are completely oblivious to what you could have possibly done wrong. Don't look at your wife, but anybody identify with that? What is it with Liverpool? You just don't want to admit it, do you? And the final one, men, is that you own that remote. No one is taking it out of your hand. No one's going to remove it. It is yours to watch what you want, when you want. Yeah, I've got an amen in this corner. As long as you want. See, there are some amazing positives to being single. The flip side is that it can be. And what I want to do today is just chat more than give a preach. And I'm trying to pull myself away from my notes because I preach a lot better when I'm not connected to them. And you just let the Spirit of God flow and say what he wants to say. Because what he wants to say here might be slightly different than what he's wanted to say somewhere else. And so bear with me as I do that. But let me just say, it is so wrong with me. That's the phrase I've said over and over and over. God, what's so wrong with me? Now, those of you who don't know me, I've never been married. I don't have any kids. It's just never happened yet. And I always just think, God, why? What is it? Because it is incredibly lonely. You can have people around you. You can be in a marriage and be incredibly lonely. You can be single and you come home, especially on Sundays. Sundays are tough because you're here and everybody's happy and everybody's smiling and we're playing great worship music and everybody's together. Everybody's together. And then you walk out and you go home. I can't tell you the countless Sundays I've spent sitting at home eating a bowl of cereal. Oh my gosh, it'd be really fun to be eating dinner with somebody. We don't think about it. We get in our schedules. We get in, you know, families and kids. It's very lonely. There's a verse that I love. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, and it says this: the eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. Eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. Can I say this? Even if we're married, those arms will not always be there for us. Nobody else can meet our need except God himself. He is the only one that will always be there. He is the only one that can step into that place of need. One of the, I probably have shared it here before, but one of the favorite memories that I have was the day when I got a phone call from a friend of mine. And there was a group of about 10 of us girls at university, and everybody was engaged except this other girl and me. And I remember the day that she gave me the phone call, and guess what? And you know how you fake it? Oh, great! And you're all happy for her, and oh, she's so happy, and oh, I can't wait. Do you want to be in the wedding? Oh, of course I do. Yay! And you hang up the phone. Oh, God! And that was what I did. Hung up the phone and just went to bed and laid in bed and cried and sobbed. And here I was in my early 30s. I'm like, at that time especially, you feel like, can I just say this? When you're in your 20s, this is what everyone says. Wait, have high standards. Have really high standards because you want the right one. Okay, don't want to be messing about here. Don't just take anybody. 20s, have high standards. You get into your 30s, your standards are way too high. That's why you can't find anybody. Your standards are up here. This guy does not exist. Mr. Perfect is not out there. Your standards are way, way too high. You get into your 40s, girls, let me tell you this. They say, does he brush his teeth? Because that's kind of all we really care about anymore. Does he brush his teeth? Just take anything that you can possibly get, right? Okay? Just the pickings are really slim now, and they're getting much slimmer. Just pick somebody, okay? So here I am crying myself to sleep because I'm the last one, the oldest of the group, and the last one. And I mumbled out of my mouth, Jesus, just be my husband right now. And suddenly, literally felt arms go around me. Never happened before. Never happened again. But I physically felt a man's arm come around me and pull me toward him. And I laid there with tears just coming down my face. And what I heard was God whisper, oh, Jen, I love you. Oh, Jen, you're so beautiful. Jen, I love your smile. Jen, I love your personality. I love that you've got joy. I love that you've got fun. And I literally fell asleep in the arms of Jesus. His everlasting arms come underneath you. Do you know one of the reasons that I have loved being single, even in the times when I haven't loved it? Because of what it has created here in my relationship with God. I have discovered a God that I would have not known if I had not had to push through tears and push through tears and push through tears and try to get something. I kept trying and desiring and wanting it out there. The number of times I have said, I'll believe I'm pretty when somebody finally tells me. I've never, ever had a man actually look me who wasn't just being nice, you know, just somebody's husband trying to encourage the single girl, all right, but someone who really genuinely meant it and cared about me, look into my eyes and say, you are absolutely beautiful. And for years, I remember thinking, I will only believe it. Everybody would say it. I'm like, I can't believe it, because if I were really beautiful, somebody would want to marry me, because I didn't understand. It isn't just about this. It's about all of this and God's plan and God's purpose and God's timing. And thank God, nobody has wanted me just for anything else. And so now I cannot wait for the time when that man finally says, you are beautiful. And I know that he means you, all of you. That's who I want, because you are beautiful. And the great thing is, I have discovered I'm beautiful. Come on, it means more than that. It took me 43 years to get to that place. I have discovered I don't need to hear it. I can't wait to hear it. But I don't need to hear it because I know it. And I'll tell you what, I had to push to get to that place and fight. And I'll tell you a bit of my story in just a minute of how I got to that place. But what I've discovered is our identity can only be found in Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're married or if you're single. Only he can satisfy the deepest desires of your heart. Only he has been able to satisfy that place in my heart. And now that there's tremendous satisfaction, you see, what we need is a healthy relationship with God to have a healthy relationship with other people. Once you have a healthy relationship with someone else, then you can have healthy influence. Come on. I have a healthy relationship with God, which allows me to have a healthy relationship with someone else. Out of this place of healthy relationship, then I can have tremendous healthy influence. We come together for purpose, not out of need. So many people are coming together out of need. I need somebody to make me feel good about myself. I need somebody to make me feel whole. I need somebody to make me feel clean. I'm 28 years old. I need somebody to marry me. I need somebody to marry. I'm coming together out of purpose because God has set this up, and God has said, I want you and I want you to come together. And those who are newly married, you come before God and you say, what is the purpose of us coming together? You think it's just because I fancy you? No, God has a greater purpose underneath that. And you discover what that is. God, what is the purpose of us coming together? This is what I told the girls. I said, girls, it's like we all have our own lanes. Okay, we're running in our lane and there's somebody else's lane over here. And we're all kind of doing our thing and we're running in our lane. And the problem is you get lane envy. And so you're looking over there and you're like, I like that lane. I want that. There's a married couple's lane. I want to be in their lane. I want to be in their lane. And God's saying, you stick to your own lane. Get in your lane. But then this is what happens. And I can't wait for the day because you're running in your lane and you're just carrying on and you're loving Jesus and you're just going through your lane. And suddenly God has got some other guy over here and his lane was like this and God went like that. And suddenly this lane began to turn. And then I'm just kind of doing my thing and hello. Hello, girls. It is at this point that you don't go, hello, 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 hey, hello, hello, because he'll go, hello, hello. All right. Uh-oh, he goes, hello, and you go, hello. And then he'll eventually say, yeah, you want to join my lane? And you go, baby, you make that boy work for you. You make that boy work for you. Girls, shall I talk to the girls, Lord? Girls, do not go running after the boys. Girls, do not think it is your job to fix it for God. I know she's coming down. Watch out. Watch out. When I come down, I get nervous because I don't know what God's going to say. All right, girls, it is not your job to go running after these boys. It is not your job to dress in such a way that, oh, they'll be like, hello, because they are helloing for the wrong reason. All right, this is not your job. Your job is to go after God with all of your heart because you want a guy who wants a girl who's going after God with all of her heart. Girls, you just to honor God. You focus on God. Don't try and fix something. Now make yourself available, but don't chase him. Do not chase that boy because then what's going to happen? You chase him. You get him. Fine. You get married. And 2 years later, trouble comes into your relationship. And suddenly you begin to wonder, is he only with me because I chased him? I'm telling you, do not do this. Do not. The temptation is huge because every girl wants to be. Our greatest need is love and security. Don't do it. And guys, you treat that woman with honor, with respect, not only for what she looks like, but for who she is. Never mistake those two things, because she will know it, and she will feel used. And a girl wants to feel honored, not used. And girls, how do you get a guy to do that? You treat him like a man of God. One of the things I hate, and I don't usually use that word, but I hate, is seeing how the media has portrayed men. And they've made them look stupid and weak. And like they have no power, and the woman's all controlling, and do this, do that, do this, do that, and everybody thinks it's funny. Oh, you've married way above who you are. No, excuse me. Let's get rid of that phrase, actually.
You're not married above who you are. We've married equal to who we are, because we are both made amazing in the image of God. And so stop treating that man like he doesn't have a clue. I read a statistic that said 75% of men feel like frauds. 75% of the time they feel like a fraud. Like if people only knew, they would know I don't have a clue what I'm doing. We need to champion them, girls. We need to come alongside and champion. I'm not just talking about husbands. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about people around the congregation. I'm talking about people at your workplace that aren't even saved. Champion these men. Come alongside them, girls. Encourage them. Love them. Say, come on, you can do it. Always look for the best. Speak to the best. Pull out the best, and that is who they will become. If we are nagging, I'm telling you what, we are pushing them down and only reinforcing what the media and the world is saying. We have got to have a different voice. Talk about a voice. We have got to have a different voice and a different generation out there. Guys, we need to. And so, girls, as your champion, you say, yes, but you don't know what I live with. Yes, but I know my God. I know my God. And I know God steps in and honors. Let God deal with your man. Let him deal with him. You honor him, you champion him, you lift him up. And then you love him. She's not to be used. She's to be honored, respected, cherished. She's fragile. Why? Because that's how God created her. So let's help each other's weaknesses. Not focus on them. Let's help overcome them. Love that woman. I'm telling you what, as we do that, we're going to set an example that people. Single people, I'm trying to prepare you for the best marriage you can have. And the only way you can have this great marriage is to be in a right relationship with God and know who you are so that you're not needing to get it from him or get it from her. I'm telling you what, your marriage will go to whole new heights if you know how to come back to God and get from him what it is you're hoping someone else is going to give you. The more I love the Creator, the freer I am to love the Creator. The more I love the Creator, the freer I am to love the Creator. Very, very quickly, because I realize we're suddenly late on time, but I really want to share a bit of my story. Is that all right? Because anybody who's single over probably 30 at least has a story. When I was 6 years old, I was raped by a babysitter. And I blocked it out of my mind, and it was so traumatic that I didn't remember any of it until I was in my early 20s when, I won't go through the story because of time, but it all came back to me, and I had to deal with it. But the result of that was that I lived my entire young adult, growing up, teenage years, absolutely terrified of men. Not of my dad, but terrified of anybody else, any other man. And I remember even at high school, which just with boys or whatever, I always had to fake, you know, trying to, you know, pretend to be interested while all the girls are like talking about this boy and that boy. And I would always kind of fake it because I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I didn't know why I didn't, but I was just absolutely terrified. And so finally, when I was in my teens, about 16, I remember some friends of mine, because I was so shy and so quiet and wasn't dating, they're like, oh, let's help her out a little bit. And so they set me up with this guy, and I don't mean this in a humorous way at all, but the guy's name was the Beast. And so they set me up with this guy. I didn't know that that was his nickname. And they set me up with him, and he nearly raped me, to make a long story short. And I ran from the car, and I ran home, and I ran into my bedroom. And I remember running into my bedroom and just sitting down, and I can remember exactly where I was sitting. And I said, I hate men, 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 I hate men. I will never trust a man, I will never trust a man, I will never trust a man. I hate men, I hate men, I hate men. And with every word spoken, there was another brick, and another brick, and another brick, and another brick, and another brick. And I built this beautiful wall around me that night. And it was a very safe wall that just kept everybody at bay. And I didn't know why I was so afraid, but I was terrified. And so I had this wall that then just kept everybody away until I was 19 and I met Jesus. And I could spend an hour, which I won't, tell you how amazing to finally meet someone who loved me just for me. It wasn't about anything else but me. said, only you. And so I allowed him to kind of come through, and he sat down for a while. And then soon after that, I got involved in ministry, and soon after that, I remembered everything that happened. I had to go through all the counseling and that, and then ended up moving countries. And just the result of things that happened in my life, there wasn't really opportunity or space for any kind of a relationship to come in. And so for years, like I said earlier, I kept living with God, what's wrong with me? Those of you who've experienced something like that, those of you who carry something like that, the best thing that you can do is invite Jesus to just come right through that wall and to sit right there with you. Because what he will do from the inside is begin to take down that brick. And 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 only he can do that. I want a guy to know who he's getting. And a guy couldn't have known who he was getting behind this wall. And there's some people here with a wall that you've kept up. Some of you are even married. Because you're too scared to let someone see who you're getting. I want to say only Jesus coming into that place can touch into that and set you free. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's go to verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. No, sorry, that's not the right one. Do we have it in the NIV? Sorry, I've got it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, it says this: each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he was a free man when he was called as Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. This is the word that I want to bring out. It says right here, each one should remain in the situation he was in. Do you know what that word remain means? In the Greek, that word means rest. In the Greek, that word means rest. What he's saying is don't be at peace about being a slave, but be at rest in the situation. Don't be at peace about, you might not like the situation, but you can be at peace in the situation. Okay, let me say it again. You might not be at peace with the situation, but you can be at peace in the situation. What I had to go through, okay, and I've had to jump a lot of time because of time here, of my story, of all of this happened, and so it made me this person that hated who she was, hated what she looked like, thought that she was only there and someone was only going to love her if they liked what she looked like, and nobody has loved me, so therefore they don't like what I look like, so therefore there's something wrong with what I look like, therefore there is something wrong with me. And it was only until I could find peace inside of me, it was only until the Lord Jesus Christ himself could come in and say, I love you. I am giving you peace. I am putting it into your heart, and I accept you for who you are. Once that seed was planted, then suddenly everything began to grow out of that place. Some of us are in a situation, even in our marriages, that we don't like right now. There's a place of peace. Don't go to your husband, don't go to your wife, go to God. For peace in that place. Lighten the mood for half a second. We've not even been able to talk about sex yet. which I know all the single people here were like, come on, let me come to, you know, hear this message, because I fully understand. Trust me, I understand. Part of the reason you want to get married at 21 when you're in the church, because you're not supposed to have sex before you're married. All right, it's not going to kill you. As I said to the young people, it will nearly kill you, but it's not going to kill you. All right, so those of you who are 21 and 23 that are saying, oh, it's so hard. Oh, come on, I've been waiting longer than you've been alive. So don't tell me. Do not tell me. When I was in my early 40s, I think it was, I had to go to the doctor for something. And she was like, oh, so when's the last time that you? And I said, no, I haven't. And she said, no, I don't mean recently. I mean, you know, when was it? I said, no. She literally dropped her pen. She went, this is what she said. She went, never. And I said, no, I've never been married. And I want to wait until I'm married. And she went, never. I'm starting to feel like, you know, I don't know, a leper. And I'm like, I said, no. This isn't a lie. This is what she said. She said, oh, your honeymoon's going to be amazing. I'm like, I know. Tell me about it. Come on, God. All right. The great thing is when you're free, you're free. When you're free, I don't need to go looking out there for it, because I am able now as a free woman in God, solely accepted by the love of my life, to be able to say I am choosing to wait because I have got my love tank full by Him. I am looking forward to it. I'm getting married at 6 a.m. Speeches are at 7 and you are gone by 8, okay? I cannot wait, all right? But I am content and satisfied and full in the Lord Jesus. And girls, guys who are not married, there's something amazing at being able to look at that person and say, only you. It's just you. Don't lose that out of a moment of insecurity, because that's where it comes from. Don't lose it out of a moment of insecurity. Oh, be at rest. Not with the situation, in the situation. Last scripture. 1 Corinthians 7:17 in the Message. Don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines who you are. God, not your marital status, defines who you are. Don't let marriage and don't let singleness shape you. Let God shape you. Let's close our eyes. See, at the end of the day, it's all about identity. Where am I gaining my identity? Is it from what somebody thinks of me? Or is it what somebody has already told me through the Word of God, which is you're loved, you're accepted. You're mine, just the way that you are. You know, I had some stuff happen early on in my life that affected me for a number of years. But at some point, I had to decide that that was not my identity. Christ was my identity. Yeah, it's helped shape me. It hasn't defined me. Yeah, it's helped bring me to where I am. But in a weird way, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. In a weird way, I'm so happy that I am 43 and I am single and I am in love with my God. And I still get to look forward to dating and courtship and all of that. Wow. Am I blessed or am I blessed? But I've had to learn to get rest in a place of discomfort and in a place I didn't want to be. And so with us just closing our eyes, I just want to ask, are you in a place of discomfort right now? whether it's from being single or whether it's because even maybe in a marriage some things are happening, but you're in a place of unrest and you're trying to get that need met, that peace met, somewhere other than through Christ. You could have been a Christian for 30 years and still be trying to get that met somewhere else. And that was what I felt God really has been stirring in my heart this morning. That whole word, rest. Some people just need to rest where you're at. Just rest in this season. Just rest. I know it looks difficult. I know it is difficult. I know it feels tumultuous. And I know that you're trying to get somebody else to make it all better. Let's rest and let God touch that place. If that's you, I just want to pray for you from here. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I just want to pray. Can you just lift your hand so I can just see? Yeah, yeah, just see. Who say, yeah, that's me. Yeah, lots of you. Yeah, lots of you. Father God, I just pray for those with hands raised and those who want to raise their hands but aren't at the moment. That Holy Spirit, that you would come in and that you would minister in a way that only you can. You would minister your grace. You would minister your love. You would minister your rest. And I feel like God is just saying over you, be at peace. I see. Be at peace. I know. Be at peace. I'm taking care of it. Be at peace. My timing is perfect. My ways are perfect. My plan is perfect. I declare over you, God's plan is perfect. I declare over you, God's ways are perfect. I declare over you, God's grace is perfect. I declare over you that God sees you and that God knows you and that God hears you and that God has seen every tear that you have cried. He has seen every hurt in your heart. He has seen it and he has cried with you and he has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I am your best friend. I am walking this journey with you. I am here to strengthen you. I am here to tell you when to walk forward, when to stop, when to go to the left, when to go to the right. Don't be afraid that you won't know. Don't be afraid that you're going to miss it. I declare over you, you are not going to miss it, for God's plans in your life will come to fruition in his timing and in his ways and in his fullness. And I declare that we are raising our faith right now to believe that God is going to do what he desires to do. We are raising our faith to say, I'm walking away from that pain. I am walking away from that past. I am not allowing that to define me anymore. I am allowing Jesus Christ to define who I am.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.